Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tell Del Tuesday, and I have a wonderful guest with me today by the name of John Courtney out of Kansas City, as he prefers to be called, JC from KC. He's got a cute little name that goes with it. So, JC, I'll tell you, most people send me a bio. It's like three paragraphs long. You sent me 6 pages of bio. And I have to tell you, as I'm reading through the bio, it's reading like a old Mark Twain book, Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn, that kind of, you know, from Missouri. I'm from Missouri, so, you know, it's the I don't believe anything, the show me state, the you know, I believe only half of what I see and none of what I hear kind of, Mark Twain kind of story. Unbelievable story. Sounds a lot like my childhood growing up. Obviously, I'm not trying to outdo your childhood to childhood, but it just really caught my attention there. Entrepreneurial from youth, very deep entrepreneurial from youth, very team-oriented. I mean, it reeks team on every paragraph that you wrote. Interesting reading, to be quite honest with you. More interesting to me than just the amount of real estate deals you've done so far. So we're going to leave those till later in the conversation. And let's start with this. You I think you're in your late 50s now, if I remember reading right.
Just turned 60.
Okay, gotcha. So you got past the 59 and a half you wanted to get past so you could take your stuff out and not pay the 10% penalty. That's good. However, what I'd like to get out of you is a little background for everybody as to why you're so entrepreneurially based and how you drug that into your late 50s, now early 60s, because it's, you know, you've owned businesses your whole life, and now here you are at 60 years of age going, hey, I'm going to try something else. I'm looking to something else. There's got to be a story in there as to how all of your background peaks at 60 to getting into real estate. So let's start with the beginning. Tell people what your youth was like and how you grew up and what your background is.
I was one of 5 children. I'm number 4 out of 5, and 3 older sisters, a younger brother. And father was a blue-collar worker. He was in the auto glass business and did plate glass windows on high-rise buildings. And just saw how hard he worked, and he tried to do his own business. And he did it for about 2 years, and he found out that this was too much work for him. It was easier for him just to go to work and have a steady paycheck. And I saw that, and I saw how hard he worked, and I knew that if we wanted things, being young with a family of 7, it was kind of up to me to go out there and make my own money at whatever age I was to be able to have the things that I wanted in life. And so that's where my fundamental began for entrepreneurship. And I was helping the neighbor lady across the street who was an elderly lady, really, really sweet lady. And is there anything I can do? You know, I charge you $2, you know, I'll dig that hole for you, and we'll plant that plant, anything. I'll shovel your driveway. I'll clean your house or windows or whatever I could do to make a buck. And so that started the entrepreneurial. What really really sent that into an accelerated point was in high school, I got into a program called Junior Achievement. And Junior Achievement was basically the fundamental change in my life that really allowed me to become the entrepreneur I am today. I met some wonderful people there. They're still my friends. Two of the gentlemen that I met in high school, I ended up having partnerships with. And second one is co-founder of this original business that I currently do now. And That's kind of where it all came from. It was just fundamentals from growing up and seeing that if you wanted something in this world, you could have it, but you had to work hard to get there.
So in this day and age, JC, it's just not that way anymore. You don't see it. I go back and I resonate with your stories of picking up Coke bottles and taking them to the grocery store for a nickel a bottle. I mean, I remember doing that. I remember going around trash can to trash can, picking stuff out of trash cans. And, you know, like the bottles and stuff, the recycle you could do, I did that. But I did something else. I actually pulled the stuff out of the trash can I thought was good. And I'd have a garage sale once a week, you know, because people throw away stuff that's perfectly good that somebody else would want. One man's trash is another man's treasure, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Entrepreneurial spirit, you know, it's there's dollars to be made. It's just what are you willing to do to make them?
Paper routes. There you go. You had paper routes. That's another one. Yard mowing. I mean, nobody, kids don't do this stuff anymore.
No, they don't.
It's just, how do you, I'm just trying to think, you know, as I'm reading this, I'm getting good warm and fuzzies about, you know, I'm 10 years older than you, but, you know, pretty much the same era. Grew up in Missouri, which is pretty much just like, you know, do-de-do-do-de-do-do-de-do-do. I mean, it's just, it's not East Coast, it's not West Coast. It's flyover country, right? You know, you're just American, hardworking, got to figure it out, go do something. The top of place to live is kind of, you know, the way I feel about it. And then you had paper routes, you know, and just, there's always a way to make a buck.
You know, I remember for Christmas, I wanted a gift, and it was a bicycle from Western Auto, and they said that, you know, we don't have the money for it. I mean, honestly, here's parents telling, a third grade student that we can't afford the bicycle. And I said, well, what about my savings? Can I use my savings account to buy a bicycle? And they said, we'll consider it. And then they did. I was able to get like 20 bucks of the 40 bucks out of the savings account to buy my first bicycle. And it's just that kind of when you're raised like that, your values become different. And you know that you save money for something you really wanted and used, wore out tire after tire and changed it and learned how to mechanic the whole bicycle. So I could service it, keep it greased, keep it running, adjust the brakes, anything I needed to do, I could do it on that bicycle.
I think the first big thing you learned that I've tried to teach for 35 years is that if you want something bad enough, if there's Tony Robbins says that if there's enough why, there's a how. You can go get it somehow if you really want it, if there's enough why. And you figured that out at a very early age, which is empowering, because once you know that, then you go, well, there's nothing stopping me. If I want something, I'm going to go get it and make it happen. I think that was what I got out of your story, is very empowering. The second part that just blew me away was at an early age you figured out the concept of hiring employees. What was your earliest employee story? I mean, you had people working for you when you were a kid.
Yes, I did. So when we started the partnership in the lawn care, again, that was the gentleman I met from Junior Achievement. This is back in the early 80s. And we said, hey, I got a couple lawns I mow. He did too. So we joined together. And next thing you know, we're mowing 13 lawns. And that's when we decided that, hey, it might be a great idea to bring some guys on. And, you know, in the fall and the cleanup and stuff for leaves that we have so many of, I started hiring guys from school to help me rake all these leaves. And, you know, I was paying them. And so they were doing the work. And there's one of my favorite days was we had nine guys working, three different job sites. And I ended up making $300 and I never raked a leaf. Because I hired guys to do it. Here I am in like middle school, and I just made $300 in one day. It's like, who does that?
The other story that parallels with, I'd like to say, is there are people willing to work and people willing to let them. Your dad was one of the people willing to work. My dad was too. My dad tried to go entrepreneurial. It was just too much. It was just so much easier just to have a job for 50 years.
It is a lot. I agree. It is a lot.
I want to take us down a different path. Take and move up some of the story here. You went from doing all these childhood entrepreneurial situations, and then you eventually got into construction and lawn care type of a business. The construction part, somewhere in your story, I think I saw that you had met some older guy who was the superstar of construction, on the giant construction company. Did he have any input into your growth, or was that just tangential. He was there, but you never really met him.
He was actually a football coach of mine, and he was just very encouraging. We had a championship team for the team that we were on for 2 years, fifth and sixth grade. So I was very young and learning the team sports and loving the team sports and understanding the power of, you know, you don't win the game by yourself. You have to have everybody else that wins it with you. And I was the center at the time, and so I was lucky. I got to put my hands on the ball on every play. There's only two players that get to do that, center and that quarterback. So, he taught some really good fundamentals, and learning those fundamentals young helped me in business too.
So he had no direct correlation to getting you into construction. How did you get into construction?
So my father was very handy, did everything around the house. Unfortunately, he didn't really let us do it because he didn't want to get it messed up, and he was very particular, and so all we could do was watch. And in middle school, I got into an industrial arts program for woodworking, and I took 6 years wood shop. By the time I was a senior at 17, and leaving high school, I was basically a journeyman carpenter. I could do any tool in the wood shop, and I could make anything out of wood that you needed, whether it was turned on a lathe or built with tongue groove joints or you name it. I could build anything that you put to paper. And so coming out with those skills, I said, hey, you know what? I think I can do remodeling. So we remodeled a basement for my partner in business for the lawn care. Yeah, remodeled his basement, turned out great, and we just kept on from there. Moved out to California and started up the remodeling business out there. We had an earthquake in Whittier, California, and then it was off. We were gone. I was going to school full-time. We had nine people working, and I'm at school. I got a pager. It's going off, and the professor's like, are you a doctor or something? I said, no, I own my own residential remodeling business. He's like, oh. Because I had a pager back when pagers, you know, most people that had pagers were doctors or lawyers or somebody very, very prominent. It just wasn't an everyday thing that somebody had a pager.
So here we go again. Here we go again, John. I took 4 years of shop woodworking, 4 years of metalworking, 2 years of auto mechanics, and 1 year of small engine mechanics. They made you take the small engine mechanics before you could get into the auto mechanics. Yep. Do they even have classes like that in school anymore? I mean, I went to a nice, clean, pretty new high school, and they had all these shops that had all this equipment and tools. And by the way, I have a 20-car garage, and in it, I have every commercial tool you could think of for woodworking. I have some metalworking and welding also.
How I'd love to see that. So to answer your question, I would say I think you have to live in Missouri. I don't believe this program's offered across the nation. It was really fundamental for them to have this industrial technology program to teach people the skills. It was such a blue-collar world.
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up in Wisconsin, but they had it up there. It's interesting. So you went through this, and you started this construction company, and then you hung with that for 30, 40 years? I mean, that was
42 and running. We still have it operating today.
That's amazing.
Yes, sir.
So let me ask you this. It's in your bio here a little bit that you had bought real estate in the past, but you really didn't know what to do with it, and you had some bad luck with some real estate. What made you decide you were going to look into real estate now?
I always wanted to be able to, quote unquote, flip houses. And I looked at that model and I determined that, you know, you'd have to have a lot of capital based upon my lack of knowledge of how the lifestyles model is. And so I basically ruled it out as a viable business because I didn't have that working capital. And in owning my own homes and knowing that the value goes up in real estate and that there's only so much real estate out there, I knew that it was a great place to make money, but I just didn't have a good map. I didn't have a good plan. I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have a team to be able to do this really the right way. I was lacking my team.
Well, you know, I'm trying to dig in here and get some stuff. And to make this interesting to people on the other side of this radio. And one of the things that I think about is that, you know, when we go to build something, I'm going to go this way. We go to build something. There's some real logic to it. You know, if you're going to do some work on a lathe, you're going to put your block in there before you're going to shape that block before you put it in there. You know, and then you're going to turn it down slowly, and then you're going to get into the details. And so you go the big stuff, then the medium stuff, then the small stuff. Same thing if you're going to build something. You have to have a plan, a blueprint. You learn to measure twice and cut once. I mean, there's this basic stuff that once you learn, you can pretty much move on from one type of construction to the next and one type of thing to the next. But real estate is oxymoronic. In other words, the stuff you should do makes no sense at all for the average person from what you've been taught. Let's talk about the real estate you did buy that, you know, you had no idea what to do. What happened to that real estate? Just so people can relate to you.
So the first property that I purchased ever is a single family home for our family. And I relocated out of California and then came back to the Midwest. And when I did that, I leased it out. I had a tenant in place, so that was all good. And then that tenant then moved on to another state. And I had a property management company that was not able to fill that with another tenant. And lack of knowledge and experience in the real estate world, I didn't do what I should have done, didn't do what I needed to do to secure that property and get a new tenant in there. It didn't get it marketed right, didn't get it sold, and ended up losing the property. Today, it's embarrassing to know that property probably would have netted me about $400,000.
So the interesting part behind this, JC, is not that you didn't know, because nobody knows. You got a house sitting there. Well, we'll pick it up on the other side of the break. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with JC from KC and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
To creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Working hard but still falling behind? Learn how real estate investing can help you build income and move forward with purpose. Text RADIO to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is John Courtney out of Kansas City. And John sharing his story with us. Thankfully, because it's a great story of entrepreneurialism at a younger age. And as we broke from the last segment here, we were talking about, even though he had all this remodeling experience and, you know, business experience from a youthful age, he lost a house. And what I'm trying to point out to everybody out there is that you might have gone through that same thing because it's oxymoronic. You know, you go buy a home, and I think this one was a brand new one, wasn't it, John? You bought yourself a brand new home to start with?
That is correct.
So you buy a house, who knows how much it's, you know, would rent for. You don't know if what you paid for it, you could actually rent it for that amount or not, for the mortgage payment or not. You just don't know because you've never thought about it that way. You're thinking about, I'm going to buy a house, and hey, real estate goes up in value, right? And that was with a big question mark there. I said that, you know, doesn't it go up in value? Of course it did. It went from $141,000 you paid for it to $450,000, whatever it's worth today. It does, but you didn't catch the fact there's got to be a mortgage payment in there and there's got to be renters in there and I'm going to leave that because I've just made that point, not for you. Obviously, you've overcome that. But for everybody else out there, hey, you might have already made some bad real estate transactions that didn't work out, but you can still figure it out. So now I'm going to pull you back in, John. Let's go through this, say, okay, you had some bad stuff in the past, but you've had some good business experience. What in this current life got you to Lifestyles? for, I guess there's two questions there. Why did you decide to go back and try real estate again? And number two, we'll go to from that, how did you find Lifestyles?
Interestingly enough, I found Lifestyles on the AM radio. I was just listening to talk radio, and your show came on. And I was like, hey, this sounds interesting, and kept listening and playing it. And the more I listened, the more I realized that this is everything I have experience in. I fix houses. Why shouldn't I be able to buy them, fix them up, rent them out, and make money too? And I knew that there's money to be made in real estate, but I was a little gun shy after losing basically two homes that I tried to basically, you know, own, rent out, and make money on. And so when I heard you talking on the radio, and I was like, okay, this sounds legitimate, and then it is legitimate, and therefore this works. And that was it. I was found you on the radio.
Okay. When you first came in, how did you get in here? Did you come to a free workshop? Did you come to the two-day first? What was your first experience here?
The first experience was actually taking the two-day at home, which wasn't quite appealing for me. I like that interaction of being in person in front of somebody and being able to feel the audience and be able to talk to the people that are at the event. And so, you know, the 2 day at home was great. It works for a lot of people that, you know, don't feel comfortable with other people, but I'm that people person. And I did take the 2 day and I decided, hey, I need to do this in person. Luckily, there was an event coming to Kansas City. And so I jumped on the 2 day event here in Kansas City and went live. And from there, it's pretty much I enrolled and I was like, hey, let's be a part of this plan because this is rock solid.
Curious to hear your answer on this one. When you took it at home and then you came back and took it live, did you pick up things live that you didn't pick up at home?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, I've been to multiple 2 days since the first one I ever went to. And every time I go to a 2 day, there's information I learn. Information changes. It updates. There's laws that change. There's processes that are better. There's systems that are better. There's AI now. You know, there's everything that's just changing, and the 2 day changes too. And so I encourage anybody that has ever taken one, take another one, because I guarantee you're going to learn something that you didn't know.
So, aha moment. You come in, and you can share either the one you got from being at home or the one you got from being live, but what is your largest aha moment? You go, boy, that was what I was missing right there. You know, you go, and I know that this happens to me, you know, and you can go back to the construction kind of conversations we're having and stuff you build, and you go, I don't get how this thing works. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, now I get it. Now I get it, you know. What was your aha moments coming here?
So for me, you know, I had the skills part of it, and I could do the remodeling part of it. You know, those are skills that I have that I could easily do. So what was I missing that I needed? I needed the confidence that this was rock solid, that it was a pre-planned map of exactly how to get from my house to the house that I'm going to buy, to the house I'm going to fix up, to the house I'm going to rent out. I needed that. And then to top all that off, hey, we've even got a mentorship program that can guide me if I need professional help and need answers to my personal questions. And that to me was just, oh, this is way too good to be true, but it's real. And it is true. So it's like, this is the aha moment for me, is knowing that I've got a map, I've got a plan, I've got all these people that I can consult with and get the answers that are going to help me be successful in doing this.
So here's the trick question in it, John. The oxymoronic part that I saw in reading your bio was that the first deal you did, a la, I quote you, the Lifestyles method, you paid cash for the rehab. You didn't borrow the money. Why is that?
No, I did get a hard money loan. I did borrow the money. I did.
Oh, okay. I feel better already.
I borrowed the money. Now, I had enough cash flow that I could actually still, you know, basically fund it and then get the rental or get the reimbursement from the hard money. But getting in the weeds a little bit there, so – Yes, I did use the funding to basically rehab the house.
Yeah, because it makes the rate of return so much higher. It does. Blows the deal away, plus creates more liquid capital. If you put everything into one deal, you can only do one deal a year. If you've got, the hard money lending working, you could do two or three a year or more maybe, depending on how much cash you get to work with. So let's talk about coming out and doing your first deal. What things did you see about the first deal that were different than what you had thought previously? And what did you do and how did it work out for you? Tell us about that deal.
So the first deal that I selected was a property that I felt had really good bones, and that was, I'm not afraid to get into some construction side because that's where my experience lies. And so I wanted a property that was fundamentally a sound property that I could just come in there and do the rehab and do some construction and be done with this thing. And my goal really going into that house was I need to find a house that I can be in and out in 30 or 45 days to be able to get a tenant in there in 2 to 3 months tops. And that was all in the plan. It's all in the roadmap. It's everything that we need to be trying to achieve. And that's what I sought out for in that property was that, hey, this looks like the property that we could do exactly that. We could be done in 30 to 45 days.
Gotcha. All right. It seemed like, if I remember your bio, that was a pretty old property, huh?
Yeah, it was over 100 years old, and I still have it today. We got it rented out right away, and oddly enough, we got it rented out in, I believe it was November. So some people would say, well, that's a terrible time to have a house on the market to rent. And I would have to disagree with them. I had multiple people come and look at that house, and I had multiple people interested in that house. And literally they were moving into a 119-year-old house that was completely renovated. It had brand new bathrooms, two brand new bathrooms, a brand new kitchen. It has all new flooring, and it already had vinyl windows, fresh paint inside and outside. Perfect. I mean, you can't find a 120-year-old house that looks like it's brand new.
Yeah. And that's what people want. They want someplace nice, best product, best price type of situation. Works out. I want to remind you that the expo is coming up here on the 13th and 14th of March. You need to get yourself reserved. If you're coming in from out of town, you need to get yourself a hotel room. This is downtown San Antonio, which is a tourist area, tremendous tourist area. A lot of stuff to see. You can have a lot of fun being there. But you got to get yourself a hotel room because these things do sell out. Secondly, if you want to get a table to be able to go to the master networking for the multifamily master networking, you're going to have that table reserved by February 16th. You need to get that done right away. There's only a few days left for that. And last, bus tour. The bus tour is almost sold out. It's down to its last bus. Don't know how long that last bus will last, but I'll tell you, we've only been advertising this now. February, we're in about a week and a half, and we filled 7 buses. So I don't think this one last bus is going to last all the way to the end. You need to get in there, get your bus registration as soon as possible. JC, welcome back to the show. And I wanted to ask you a question. When you first came here, your resume sort of thing talks about teams. You love being on teams. You enjoy the camaraderie. You enjoy the transference of education and information. Were you surprised when you first joined Lifestyle how open people were about their finances?
Absolutely. Growing up in the Midwest, you don't have any, you've got a lot of kind of values that you don't do this, you don't say that, you're trying to be raised the proper way. And, we don't talk about finance, we just don't talk about that. And then you come into Expo, you come into Lifestyles Unlimited, and you meet all these people that are talking about their their deals, their homes, their single family, multifamily purchases, and all these numbers, and you're going, oh my gosh, you're sharing all this personal information with me, and it's kind of a shock at first, and then you're like, this is great, you know, everybody I'm talking to is like-minded, we're all talking about the same numbers that everybody understands, and it's a beautiful thing to be able to be with people that understand how you're thinking, what you're thinking, and all on the same map, all on the same plan.
So the expo is just massive. I mean, we're talking about anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000 people come to these things every year.
Unbelievable event. If you've never been, you need to go. You can't explain it. It is more knowledge than you'll ever imagine picking up, not to mention some of the best people you've ever met in your life.
So you make friends from all over the country and build relationships. When you went back to Kansas City area, Kansas City, Missouri is on the west side of Missouri, is the state? Is that where it's at?
So Kansas City splits two states. It's Kansas and Missouri. So it's still all Kansas City, but you have Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri.
You live in the Missouri side, right?
I'm on the Missouri side now, but I also was raised on the Kansas side.
Now, am I right in saying that we have an ambassador out in that area?
That is correct.
So they do have meetups out there too then, huh?
Absolutely. We just had we did a walkthrough on a property. We had Isaac up from California. He came in and visited, and we walked three homes. One home was for sale, and we did what we call a scope of work on that. We went and reviewed the whole entire property. From there, we looked at a property that was viewed the last time at a road trip that Isaac was at. It was completed at this point in time. So we saw it before, and we saw it after. And then a third property we went and saw was a new property that had just been purchased by a Lifestyles member. It's his first property, and he starts construction today because he just signed yesterday. He closed on the deal.
Isaac is an amazing human being. I have to tell you, when I first met him, he lived in Florida. I think it was Miami. So he started his career by buying stuff in Texas from Miami, and I think even now he's in California, you can't buy anything there. So everything he owns is, you know, in Texas or the Midwest or Kansas City or wherever it's at. This dude owns real estate all over the country, but none of it is by where he lives. Isn't that an interesting approach?
It is very interesting that you do not have to live where you own your real estate.
It's a great guy, and he is one of the nicest guys I've ever met, too. Now that you've come this far, you've got a couple deals under your belt. What's your future look like? What's your plans?
So I do have three properties that I acquired in 16 months, and those three properties are going to be paying me cash every single month, a little over $1,000 a month. And in the 16-month period, my equity is now about $142,000. I haven't made in my lifetime $142,000 in 2 years, let alone 16 months in real estate. If that gives you any indication of how fast you can accumulate wealth in real estate, 16 months, $140,000 in equity, and $1,000 a month coming into my pocket.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's incredible. I've never made that kind of money.
Now that you've done it,
months.
It's nothing to do it again, right? I mean, you just keep replicating that?
It's replicate. And the interesting thing that I figured out really quick is you start with one, you get two, you get four. It kind of doubles out, you know, and there's a period of time that we wait in between these intervals. But if you start off with three and it doubles to six, it doubles to 12, you've gone the same duration of time, but now you have 12 properties instead of four properties.
Yeah. And then it's going to hit you one day. You're going to wake up and go, you know, I can buy a 10-unit apartment complex.
My plan is 3 years on that, Dell. I'm 3 years away from looking at my first 10, 20, 25-unit property. So in the multifamily sector, getting in some apartments. So 3 years is my goal on that. So from nothing to an apartment complex in 3 years.
It's got to blow your mind. You sit there, you've done your three, and then you do your six, and then you do your 12, and then you come along and buy 25 all at once. So, hey, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate you showing. I'm going to see you at the expo. And for the rest of you out there, remember this. It's not just the money. It's a lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll be right back.
listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.